Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
What is up, everybody? You know what it is, the Affair After Show. So check it out. We are going to be covering two episodes tonight. That's right. Two episodes, episode 5 and 6. It's about to go down. Stay tuned because we got you right here.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz.
Hey.
Oh,
what do you do here?
I don't know. I just like to dance.
It's the shoulder. It's a shoulder thing.
It is a shoulder thing.
It's a shoulder part.
It's 100% a shoulder thing. I agree.
What's up, everybody? You know what it is. Your boy Lim Gonzalez here. This is the Affair After Show. We're going to be covering episodes 5 and 6. So we got a little extra time to really get into these episodes. We're sorry we weren't able to do it last week, but we are here, and trust me, we got you covered.
Okay.
The panel is all here also. Super excited. Miss Allison Dean is back. What's up, Allison Dean?
So happy to be back, guys.
Yes.
And gals.
All the way from Switzerland.
That's where I was.
Brought us some chocolate.
Oh, she brought us some waffle chocolate.
That was crazy.
Well, let's be real. I felt as though I would be completely ousted from the studio if I did not bring Lems and April some chocolate.
Also, she would have been.
So. Yeah, exactly.
She made the right decision.
It's very
true.
Yeah, right. It's extremely true.
So all the goodies arrived.
Yes, it was great. And of course, my A1 since day one. April Wilson Hannah's in the building.
What's up, everybody? So happy to be here. Feeling heavy right now, though. But
from chocolate?
Yes, from the chocolate. Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
It was two heavy episodes. I mean, we obviously just watched episode 6. But even with episode 5, that was also heavy as well. Especially how it ended. What are your overall thoughts about episode 5? We got Sierra's perspective, and then we also got Helen's perspective. But when we got Sierra's perspective, it was very, very heavy. Like, we found out why she is the way she is.
Yeah.
But, yo.
Right?
Like, really. What are your overall thoughts?
I was speechless. I was happy. I was surprised, actually, that we got her POV. Mm-hmm. I wasn't necessarily thinking that was going to happen.
You weren't expecting it.
No, I knew for sure that we were going to get Whitney's POV, but I was very surprised. And I really didn't know what was in store for me at all. I don't know. I was definitely jaw-dropped the whole time.
Word.
Overall, same.
Yeah.
A lot of jaw-drops.
Same.
I'm just really happy. And this is specific, but I'm just really happy that Helen is finally getting even an inkling of who Sasha really is. Mm. Not to even take away from Sasha, because what he did with the whole movie thing and accepting this over this guy's, like, it happens. And I don't even want to say that, but just I'm just very happy that she is finally seeing maybe even an inkling of him not being the best person ever, like it seems like she thinks he is.
Shattering
right now.
Dreams.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I really dislike Sasha. You know how I feel. But even in this episode, especially when we saw his daughter, and how he was very, you know, callous towards her.
Right.
He may have had his reasoning or what have you, but I just feel like he's such, for lack of a better term, he's such a douchebag.
Yep.
Like, he's just a straight douchebag. And I feel like, not that he's using Helen per se, because I don't think he's getting anything out of being with Helen, but I feel like he's kind of taken advantage of her, maybe, you know, her being gullible.
Right.
Because she's very, you know, she's not tainted, right? Mm-hmm. She's from the East Coast. She's not from LA. You know, LA people happen to, especially if the industry has a stigma.
Mm-hmm.
And he obviously is not about that. He wants to stray away from that. And he keeps complimenting her. And we saw this in this episode about how, like, oh, Helen, you're just so kind of pure. And, oh, I just love how you're just kind of innocent. And she's oblivious to the wiles of the LA, you know, type of galaxy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he loves that about her innocence, so to speak, even though, you know, she's mature
she
and got four
innocent,
kids.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
in respect to, you know, living in LA.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yes.
Hold up. Wait a minute, though.
Hold up.
You don't think he's using her? Because I feel like even times, at times, he made it seem clear that he was. Like, when she would say something about Noah, or so, I forget what she said, but it was something about their relationship or relating it to Allison, and he was like, oh, he did that? And, like, he perks up because it just seems like...
feeding the character.
Like how we've talked about, he's using her to kind of actually, you know, really method act to literally be Noah Soloway. Mm-hmm. And I still...
so shady if that's
the case. I mean, like, he's living his life and she's living her life also at the same time. Like, they are in a relationship, but I feel like he is using her because of that. But I definitely totally agree that he, you know, appreciates the non-LA aspect of her in a lot of ways. But I think that I do still think he's using her for the movie.
For the movie itself.
Yes.
And again, the douchebagness.
Right.
I would not put it past him. I just think that, you know, when you say using somebody, I'm using this term like, oh, use them for their money, use them for their clout or their fame. He doesn't need that. But yes, you make a good point about using for the sake of the movie.
Yeah. I'm curious what happened, like what's going to happen, just because I think with Helen, something like this, I'd be surprised if she lets it all go by the wayside. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to voice her, I don't know.
Disdain.
Yeah, for the entire situation. And I wonder if that's going to make him change.
Right.
I think will be the test if this is all just an act, or if he actually really does care about her.
For sure. Word. We're going to find out. Let's break down episode 5. So, again, we were talking about Sierra, and just want to remind our engineer that we are doing the show a little bit longer because we're covering 2 episodes.
Yeah.
So, Sierra's having a hard time taking care of her child, Eddie. A really hard time.
Mm-hmm. Boy, is she.
The baby, she's saying, has colic, so he's crying a lot, and of course, it's stressing her out. She's a new mom. You can tell, and we do get, you know, the feeling, what we'll talk about in a second, about her mother and how she kind of came up under that. She doesn't really have experience with, you know, children, per se, and she's just really having a hard time. Did you feel bad for her at all?
No. I was so waiting to talk to y'all about this because... not to skip ahead, but when she goes to Helen asking her to babysit him, and she's like, you know, can you please do this? I'm really in a pinch. It happens. Of course it happens. Like, I have nieces. I don't have kids of my own, but I have nieces. I have nephews. Most of my friends have kids, and I totally get it. Like, you are in a pinch. This is an emergency. You need somebody to babysit for you. But I was like, how do you not have... She had not a single other babysitter or nanny or anything like that lined up whatsoever. It's not that she called the babysitter. She called another babysitter. She called another. She called this person. She went to Helen and everybody said no. So then, like, you can feel bad. But how... No, I don't think Helen would have actually said this. Again, it's because of it being from Sierra's perspective.
Her point of view.
But how she was like, you brought a child into this world. You need to have this figured out. I was like, you do. And clearly... She does not have this figured out because of what she does later in the episode when she's at the audition.
Gosh.
But no, and maybe that's leaning on me a little bit as well, but I didn't feel bad for her because you feel bad in the sense of, like, you're in a pinch, you're a mom, you need help, you are doing this by yourself, you're a single mom, which is one of the most difficult things to do in the entire world. But the fact that she hadn't even thought about having other options, I was like, number one job right there, number one priority.
And also the fact that pre-birth, she had tremendous support around her.
Yeah.
I mean, her whole house was filled with people as she was giving birth, right? She had a doula, she had a midwife, she had all these things. So why wouldn't she have some help at this juncture now that she has the baby? I thought that was surprising.
She should have thought about it.
Where are your people, man?
Right. Yeah. Well, this is how I looked at it. First of all, one note is that there's a ton of single moms out there.
Absolutely.
Prevalent. I know... tons of them. And, you know, I think she comes from privilege.
Yeah, she does.
Right?
Yes.
You see her mother, which we'll talk to her about her in a second. She's been on movie sets. You know, her mother's famous actress. So she comes from privilege.
Yep.
And so having a child and not having 5 people to help take care of the child, like she did when the baby was born, she doesn't know how to function.
Right.
And yes, you should if this is what you're doing. And obviously, it's not like she has any other type of job that she has to be at.
Right.
You know, we see her going on audition, and yes, she's doing that, but realistically, she's at most of the time at home with the child.
Correct.
Right.
And we see when she talks to Helen, like, I've had the child for 4 months. Like, ghastly. Like, come on, you need to help me. You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't believe that.
Right.
No.
So, It's like, yo, get it together. But going into, I want to go into when she does have that audition, mm-hmm. and she leaves that baby in the car.
Oh man.
I could not, like, literally, and I will say, like, she definitely thought about it. It wasn't, like, something, a flippant thing that she's just like, all right, let me just get out the car, baby's good.
Yeah.
She thought about it, but the fact that she did that for an audition, like, it's an audition, and, you know, I go auditions all the time. There's no way I'm going to, for an audition, like, you know, I would never do that, period.
Right.
But that's the reason you're doing it, for an audition.
This is the thing. I kept trying to put myself, not that any of us would ever do that. I don't think anyone would ever say that they would willingly do that.
Yes.
Unless you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
But I try to put myself in her shoes. So she's sitting there, and I'm not even leaning towards saying that it was okay, but she's sitting there, he has colic, so he cries all the time.
Incessantly.
I had colic as a baby, and my mom tells horror stories of it, so I get it. But he has colic, so he's crying nonstop. She has this very important audition with this seemingly big director.
Mm-hmm.
So an important audition, but let it be said that the majority of auditions that you go on, you don't get the part. So that plays an important part in this scenario
as well.
But the second she parks the car, he calms down. So it's like the mix of, this is really important. Mm-hmm. I have to figure this out. Plus, oh my God, he finally stopped crying. He hasn't stopped crying in 4 months.
Right.
Am I seriously going to move him?
Ugh.
So it's like I put myself in her mind, obviously very much so the wrong decision, but it just goes to show. It goes back to Helen saying, you brought a child into this world.
You
chose this. Like, not that's the wrong thing to say, but she wanted a baby. She didn't not want a baby.
Right. The bottom line is, it's her child. And just going back to the audition thing, I'm thinking about this. I've been on tons of auditions where guys have brought their child with them.
Right.
Like, they bring him into the audition, and I've never had a casting director say, like, what are you doing, sir?
Yeah.
You know, they just understand that sometimes, you know, you got two working parents, mm-hmm. or he's a single parent or whatever. You know, that sometimes has to be the case.
Yeah.
Again, to leave a child out in the car is just ridiculous. But I think that what they're trying to show is basically where her head is at.
Oh, like, yeah.
She's very irrational.
Yes.
In her thinking, she doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes to the audition, and then the director, Leaf, calls her Sienna, doesn't even call her by the right name.
Yeah.
And then is basically not checking for her at all, because we see the other person go on audition and get the hug and, like, oh my gosh, and da da da. So she's thinking, like, I'm not even going to get this part.
Right.
Then she runs out, which I've seen that happen before, and it's very disheartening, mm-hmm. when you leave an audition and somebody's like, hey, why you haven't seen as your mom? And I'm like, I'm not getting that part.
Right.
I'm done.
Yeah.
So, so she goes out there, you know, checks on the baby. You know, she's relieved, obviously, the baby's okay.
Right.
But, yo, you would think, like, okay, learn from that. Get your life.
She's clearly upset by it. You know, she bangs her head on the car.
Right, that's true.
She's not, like, she clearly realizes, oh my God, I just left my baby in a car for an audition. But I think she was kind of only really remorseful because she was like, I'm clearly not getting that, and I just left my baby in a car for it.
The reason that could be it. Didn't make any sense.
Right. It's like, I get what they're showing. It just, whoa.
Right.
That's all I got to say.
So then we kind of find out, you know, we get a glimpse of why she's the way she is. So her mom calls Adeline, played by
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Amazing. Also, that was really good, y'all.
Right?
Yeah.
I love her, by the way. She literally... you know, I grew up in the 80s, and she literally was one of my favorite actresses of that era. Like, she had so many iconic roles. Single White Female is one of my favorites. She played so many. Fast Time is Ritchmond High is, again, I can go on and on. I'm stopped. But basically, we find out she's the mom. She shows up, and I love how it's like, you know, hey, you know, I haven't seen him. You know, you've been in Bali. You're like, but I'm back now. So I want to see my grandson. I'm going to come by at 6 because you ain't got nothing else better to do. Like, she knows her daughter, right? You're just going to be at home, so you ain't going nowhere.
Right.
And then she comes at 5. So she comes an hour early, and she's frantically trying to clean, and, you know, she pulls up, and, you know, we see her, and she insists on holding the baby, and you can tell that obviously their relationship is not good.
Terror in Sierra's eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then, you know, then Sierra's agent calls, says she's got the part, so now she's, of course, excited. Of course, then the mom is like, oh, well, let me help you out.
oh, she should have just said no. Like, she was very clearly not comfortable with it.
But she tried.
She did try, and her mom was persistent.
She tried several times. Her mom was very persistent. But again, it goes back to, I feel like, how she was raised.
Right.
Like, she probably did not have a voice. Not that, you know, again, you're growing up and your parent tells you to do something, you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
But it seems like she just wasn't able to do what she, like, if she wanted to do. So like, hey, mom, I would like to do this for a living. Mm-hmm. This
is
what you're doing.
Right.
You're going to be an actress. Or, hey, mom, you know, I really like this. No, that boy's crazy. No, mm-hmm. you can't date him.
Her way or the highway.
Right.
All the way.
Right. Yeah. Right. So we got that from her, and it was just very uncomfortable. I did feel bad for Sierra in this one. I didn't feel bad with the baby.
No.
But I felt bad because here she is. She's trying her best.
She's
important her part. And the mom is just like, nope, do it this way. I really think. And she's like, mom, but I really got this. And she's just not even
and
having
she
it.
She tried to stand up for herself in that moment because, like, she knew, you know, this is the thing with her mom being this famous actress and mm-hmm. this is what she wants to do. She knows, okay, this person has a lot of experience. I should listen to her. But I feel like at this point, Sierra is just beaten down because being a single mom and having a baby that cries nonstop is very difficult. And she clearly is, like, you know, suffering from a lack of sleep and this. And so it's almost just easier for her to give in, because even as she plays the role, as she, you know, when she's in the audition and when she's playing it in front of her mom, she, like, plays it how she feels in those moments. Mm-hmm. Like, in the situation with her mom, it turns into a very aggressive thing mm-hmm. because it's like, oh, I can't actually, this is how I want to be toward you, but I can't actually be this way toward you.
I was surprised that she actually went through with running lines in front of her mother, just mm-hmm. in the sense of clearly she's uncomfortable with her mother. It's her mother's way or the highway. So I would have completely just said, I don't feel too well to do that right now. Or I don't know, whatever, make something up. But you literally are putting yourself in a terrible situation. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing good is going to come of this, to run lines in front of your famous actress mother. Has very clear opinions of everything that you should be doing in your life.
Everything, period.
Yeah.
I agree, but I really just felt like she just felt like she was cornered.
Oh, well, she felt
like, if she just, you know, she kept saying no, she did try to resist, and her mom just like, no, you know, and she kept, I have 30 years in the game, like, I really, you know, you really should listen to me. So I think she was just like, all right, fine.
Right.
You know, I've been down this road, let me just do it.
I don't feel well, mom.
And then do well.
I'm going to throw up, mom.
Sorry. Right. I need to lie down.
But then this is the kicker. She calls her mom back because her mom leaves, kind of just like, all right, I'm out, you know.
Well, because she felt desperate.
Exactly.
It was a complete, again, where is her squad of people around her? Since I was shocked because of who she is that mm-hmm. she didn't have support. But she was feeling desperate. She needed a babysitter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then mom obviously offers. She's like, I got this. Like, I could do this.
I knew she was going to back out.
Right. And then she calls, first of all, she calls to agree with her notes. And she's like, which I feel like is something where it's like, all right, let me just pacify my mother.
Correct.
You know, yes, actually, you know, you gave good notes. By the way, are you going to be watching Eddie tomorrow?
Exactly.
Of course I am. Okay, cool. Sure enough, she gets that text in the morning. Hey,
Not
feeling great.
Don't want to get him sick.
Touch of the flu.
Right. Yeah. And I felt like this is something that's happened throughout
throughout
her life.
Oh, yes.
She obviously feels some kind of way because she spoke on it mm-hmm. about being on set and stuff like that. And she really was trying to have somewhat of a breakthrough with her mother because she didn't have a normal childhood.
Not going to happen.
And that's really what it came down to, which is why I feel like she struggles with her child because she didn't have a childhood.
Right.
She asked Helen to babysit. Helen says, no, this is your baby.
I got plans.
Yeah. This is your baby. And honestly, you can tell me how you feel, but I know that this is her POV, but I feel like this is true. Like, I could see Helen saying, especially now that she's with, you know, the douchebag.
Right.
I feel like she's would say something like that. Like, you brought this child into the world.
Well, also in the sense of Sasha is literally saying to her, you need to stand up for yourself.
Exactly.
You need to, you know, so
but,
it's
and
in her
so
ear.
Did Vic. Vic was
That's
like,
true.
You need to be...
All
you
about
need,
you.
You need to do you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need to whatever. But also, it's not... I definitely think she would say that, but I think, like, with the attitude that they, you know, made it seem like she said it, like, Sorry, no. Right. Helen naturally is just a little more empathetic of a person, but it's not like I was like, it's not like Helen can just ditch this party. This mm-hmm. is a big party for her. This is a work thing.
Her debut.
Right. But it's not even that. It's not just like a simple thing. And then when we put Helen's part into it as well, she also had this pressure coming from Priya. Obviously, you know, she didn't know that. Sierra doesn't know that. But like when you think of all of these things together, it's she can't just drop everything at a dime to do something for everyone else. And I kind of... For this, I think it's a mixture of, like, what actually happened in Sierra's part and what actually happened in Helen's. Like, where Sierra comes and she feels like she's so desperate. But then in Helen's version, Sierra's like, hey, can you watch him? Mm-hmm. Hey, you promised. And, like, she has the attitude. And she's like, oh, it's no big deal. Almost, to me, it's like, you're old. You don't have anything to do. You can watch this baby anytime. And that's where it's like, no, she has a life as well.
Yeah.
So I do think it was a little bit of a mixture, but I think Helen was right in this moment to be like, I'm so sorry. I can't. You have to figure this out now. This is your baby, not mine.
Absolutely. And Helen also coming from a place of being a mother of four children.
Yeah.
She can speak to that. Like, it's not like she's just someone who doesn't have children, can't relate to her. It's like, no. Granted, she wasn't necessarily a single mother, but you're her mother. You're this baby's mother. Mm-hmm. If you have something to do, you need to figure it out.
Correct.
You need to get your life together.
Because, again, like, what did Helen say? For the next 18 years?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
she's like, I've had it for four months straight. When do I get a break? She's like, in 18 years.
Exactly. No, that's very true.
Better figure it out. It's going to go on for a while.
She does get a savior in the form of Helen's daughter, Stacey. She's like, hey.
Hi, I'll keep the baby. That's the literally baby. Like, this child.
12, I know.
12 years old.
Like, yeah, no. Oh,
granted, she doesn't talk like a 12-year-old.
No, but, I said it.
She was very eloquent, but
You know, if you would like me to watch your child,
I will definitely do that.
I was like, 12-year-old talks like this. No. I heard your conversation. Right. Like, you don't even use the word conversation if you're 12.
You don't know how to spell that word.
Stop it. Exactly.
Very lovely, Stacey.
Right. So she goes to the shoot and she's in form, which I actually like how the character she's playing had an accent.
Same.
I thought that was cool because it kind of shows range for the actress that is playing Sierra.
But now I'm like, ooh, does she have an accent in real life? And should we know that?
Right. Yeah. So this is what's interesting is she's Australian.
She is.
Yeah. And so she's playing, an American.
Right.
Who now is, so an Australian playing an American playing
British.
Correct.
Right. That's correct. Crazy.
Australian and British kind of, flow at times.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that.
At times they do. It just depends.
I thought kudos to her.
Yeah, definitely.
At the end of the day, it's two different accents.
Yes,
it's two different accents. So to be able to pull that off, that's kind of dope. And we all know that, of course, the person who plays Noah, the person who plays Allison are British actors as well, and which we forget because,
they do
that's
so
crazy.
Well.
That's a great fun fact. She's Australian.
Fun fact.
Dude, she's fire. I'm not mad at that. So she goes to her shoot. She's, playing this role. We see the director, Leif, looks crazy. I was trying to remember...
Shout out to Madam Secretary, though.
Right?
Yeah.
I was trying to remember where I seen him in some other comedy. Like slapstick
comedy. He's been in a lot. Yeah, I did the extra for Madam Secretary, though, and he was on that.
Really?
Good.
Okay. She's having trouble with the scene. He's like, all right, let's just kill it. I got what I need. We're just gonna
move on.
One
more chance.
She's like, oh no, I need it. And I feel like, yes. And she nails it. And I feel like, and you guys can chime in, I feel like she chimed in, or she, channeled her mother.
Yeah.
Her relationship with her mother and what she's dealt with her mother. You agree?
I'm living this. I can do it. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
She went back to like what she did originally, but kind of mixed it in with her own personal experience, which of course is going to make you a better actress any day. But then she makes, some bad mistakes after, which I feel like is very
proof
of her character at this point.
Good Lord.
Let me tell you something. This is why I don't feel bad for her regarding the child, because granted, everything that she did, babies cry, you have to deal with it. But then knowing that she has a 12-year-old watching her child, you're supposed to take your behind home.
As soon as you're done,
take your behind home.
Correct.
And then I see her at the club dancing.
And eggs.
By herself. She's not even with nobody. She dances by herself. And then Mr. Leave looks like, hey, come on over here. and then proceeds to talk to her. And I'm like, why are you here?
Well, this why is the thing. Are you here? There's a long-standing history of, you know, the director actress type thing.
Of course, so, the casting couch situation.
Right. Yes. She should have never, there. You know, there's this like romance about it, but she should have never been there in the first place.
Correct.
Not that there's not pressure, but this is the thing. You brought a child into the world, mm-hmm. so you take that pressure, you take yourself out of that situation, meaning like you say, oh gosh, I can't go. I really would love to go, but wow, there's a 12-year-old watching my child right now, so I can't. I'm so sorry.
And that's, and again, that's why I said she was dancing by herself, because in the scene, it wasn't like she was immediately with him.
Right.
Like he was like, you know, she was pieced out, you know, kicking it.
Right.
Like she literally was dancing by herself, and he calls her over there like, hey, come, you know, what's down. Going on? How you doing? And talks to her about her mother and basically tells her, which then now she's feeling some kind of way, that the only reason why... she got the part is because he had a crush on her mother when she was young.
Right.
But then follows it up with, you know, but you're 10 times the actor.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
so much more
so
gorgeous.
Much prettier. And I'm like, and scene. Skis ball.
And I'm like, and you pretended like you didn't know her name.
Right.
Sienna? Okay.
Right.
You knew her name the whole entire time.
So, yeah, it was, I was just, it made me, you know, hate
Skeezies.
Him. It made me hate him, but then also, and I understand that she's a free spirit, and she can, and she seems like there, her character is a little bit of, has naivety to her.
Yeah.
But also, she's been around this for so long.
Her whole life.
So you should kind of know better.
Yeah, right. You're hit
and
to
then,
it.
And the fact that then they're smashing in the bathroom.
Oy,
I'm like,
ay, ay.
Really? This is what's going on? And again, you have a child at home. You have a child. Yes, yes.
Well, I'm going to say that has a
but still,
big part of it.
But still, she voluntarily took the drugs.
Yeah, she
too.
So, after he romanced her with these compliments.
Oh, yeah.
And then she was just
lady.
Like, and I feel like she literally was feeling like, look, I have a break. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to cut loose. Because before the child, she was a very free spirit. She kind of just did what she wanted, come and go as she pleased. She didn't have to worry about money. She obviously didn't have a job.
Right.
So I feel like she misses that, which is why the whole, like, I've had it for 4 months. So she was like, oh my gosh, I'm away from my child. There's drugs there. Let me just take the drugs. Let me just sleep with someone in the bathroom. And then immediately she's like, what did I just do?
But this is the thing. Like, we can hate on her. We can say, you know, her decisions are very obviously wrong when you think of what a right and wrong decision is. But, you know, we can also see the side of her that's like, she clearly needed an escape. At that time, she was thinking, you know, in her mind, she's like, okay, at least my baby is being watched over. Yeah. Like, it's not like I left him.
Baby's not on the street.
Right.
Or,
it's not like
or
I left
in my
him
car.
Alone. Right. There is someone technically taking care of him. And I haven't, you know, in her words anyway, had this escape whatsoever. And she just went a little too full throttle with it. And, you know.
Boy, did she.
It is what it
is. I still have, she needs to grow up.
Yeah, have a nanny.
She needs to grow
up.
Find
a nanny.
She obviously doesn't have an issue with money, so I don't know why she doesn't have a nanny
for
someone else.
She tells her mom that she's doing this attachment parenting.
Oh, gotcha.
So this is a, you know.
Not so much.
Right.
Not so much. No.
But this is the thing when, you know, not to, there's never a reason to like hate on you. The kind of parenting you choose to do is the kind of parenting you choose to do. But you don't, you know, say,
you
oh, like,
it.
You don't even want to hand him to somebody else, which granted, there were other reasons behind that because of it being her mom.
Right.
But, you know, you do this attachment parenting thing, and then you're like, oh, okay, just totally detached.
Right.
Like, it almost reads a little Allison in a certain way.
Ooh.
Because I don't think that they're even trying to do that. But it reminds me of that because it's like, You're so involved, but then, like, you don't ask, or, I mean, she asked Helen in a pinch, but, like, you don't have anyone else as a backup, so everybody needs help at some point.
She just...
I agree with you.
Yeah, she needs to... I feel like she sees things, and I've seen this just in people, in life. They see things a certain way, and they want to follow through with that.
Right.
So, in theory, that's what they want to do, but things don't always work out the way that you want them to. And I feel like even with her having the child, how she wants the doula and the obligata and all the people there, you know, to help her instead of going to a hospital.
Right.
But that's what she wanted to do. Even though she struggled and it was painful and all of these things happened, I think that, you know, because of her hippie mindset, like, this is what I want to do. Same thing with the parenting. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I want to have the attachment situation or whatever. And it's like, if that's not working and here you are putting your baby in danger.
Leaving him in a car.
Leaving him in a car or with a 12-year-old or, as we're about to mention right now, driving your baby into a freaking, like, was like, when I saw that, I mean, she's done coke. Already. She comes home to pick him up, so you're still reeling over that.
Okay, hold on a second. This is what I was confused by. Truly. They live next door to one another.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If her car was in the driveway, then just leave it there.
No, she did it because he started crying as soon as they left.
And she's like, that was just...
A lot of times babies will calm down if you put them in the car. Sure. And because he calmed down earlier when he was in the car.
Right.
So she's like, oh, I just need to put you in the car. Obviously, the dumbest decision she could have ever made.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's what her, or what they make it seem like her mindset
no,
was.
I
was literally like, your car is in a fine spot. Just leave it there.
No, I understood why they did it, but literally... It was just another indication of you.
She's nuts.
Are not you are not even nuts. Like you're just a not you're not a great parent.
You're not fit to be a parent,
exactly.
And she's cracked out.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh well, yeah, and yes.
On top of that, so
do not get back in your vehicle.
Exactly. Right. So let's move on to Helen's perspective. She wakes Sasha.
Gosh.
And I'm just like, this
Sasha,
dude,
I man.
Just can't have that. Right, exactly. But he ends up telling Helen that he loves her. Do you feel like she loves him? I mean, do you feel like,
he loves her?
Do you feel like he really, like, truly loves her? We talked about using her.
No, of course not.
Okay.
I think it's like a, I don't even think that he really thinks he does either. Mm-hmm. I think it's just like a, this is a new thing. This is very different than anything I've ever experienced before. It's like the facade of a love at first sight or a true love. But I feel like you can tell that it's not real, real, real. Uh-huh. So she didn't even know who this, you know, ex-stepdaughter of his was. She never heard of her before. Now, granted, it's new, but, like, pretty sure that's one of the first thing that comes up. Like, oh, yes, my fiancé.
Right.
They've talked about that. But, like, she also had a child that was essentially mine, quote, unquote.
And is now embezzling me for money.
Right. not that, like, you know, people always say, oh, how dare you not tell me about this for so long when it's a very difficult thing. And it's like, I don't know you like that. Right. Why am I going to do that? But, no, I just think it's like a... it's like there's a little bubble around them with a lot of hearts and a lot of flowers and, you know, a lot of lovey feeling stuff, but I don't think it's true love.
Well, here's the thing, and we were talking about, you know, at the top of the show about him using her, and I was like, I didn't feel like he was using her for money or fame, but I agree when you all presented it that he's using her for
story.
You know, the story. And my thing, this is when I hated him even more, if I could go to another hate level. just jumping ahead when, and we're going to talk about it, but I just want to just mention it, when he denies his friend, so-called friend, about doing the movie with him.
I agree with you.
And when he did that, and Helen's like, why would you do, oh, this happens all the time. And that's when I'm like, okay, you have ulterior motives. You do not care for her, regardless of how I feel about you as a person. Mm-hmm. You don't really care for Helen.
No.
You really are a douchebag for real, and you're trying to come it off as like, oh, this is just Hollywood. Because again, as I mentioned before, he likes her because of her, you know, her innocence of Hollywood, of how things work in Hollywood, the industry, and all of that. So I feel like he's able to tell her things to be like, oh, no, this is just part of the industry. Oh, no, this is part of what we do here. And she'd be just like, I guess.
Right.
Okay, sure. All right. You're not a bad person. You're just, this is Hollywood. Fine. Right. You know, because he's this big name actor.
You seem like you feel different.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, no, actually...
You disagree with me?
No pressure, no pressure.
How dare you? Like,
you disagree, Allison. Well, initially what I was thinking is if we were going into a season 6, we could explore this, then perhaps Sasha Mann would come around and Helen would change him. But now that we're halfway through season 5, that is our final season, sadly... I actually kind of agree. So as I was sitting here, I was thinking all these different thoughts as we were talking, and I'm thinking, you're right, he's probably playing this whole thing.
Absolutely. So
and then she's going to go back to Noah.
Right. I don't know. Speaking of Noah, he comes by when he's with, you know, her so-called, she feels like his new girlfriend, that was set up by Sasha, and she didn't know at the time. I don't know how you don't, like... I feel like Helen, again, as you know, Helen's my favorite.
Yeah.
As gangsta as she is very naive to a lot of things.
I feel like Helen actually probably knew, like, okay, he clearly and had something to do. But you don't want somebody to tell you that. As soon as somebody's like, by the way, you only got this.
Got it.
And that's true. Clearly, you don't truly love someone
right.
if you end up saying to them, she's not your real friend. You right. only got this because of me. Like,
that's
maybe, maybe Helen probably knows that already.
But just hearing it.
Even if it's like...
Don't reinforce it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, she probably believes that part of it is because of her, because... She's not going to be hired if she just sucks. Mm-hmm. If the lady's like, wow, you're making my house look terrible.
Of course.
So I'm sure she believes a part of it is because of her, but also, like, it's no coincidence that this movie that Sasha's doing, the director or the whatever he is, his wife is like, oh, by the way, do this house for mm-hmm. me, when you have no true history of doing this.
Right.
But, like, to hear him say that, no. But back to Noah showing up in this situation, I think they do... such a good job, or I should say Dominic West does such a good job of making himself look crazy.
My gosh.
Like, oh my lord!
When he's in the window, or you see him in the door, and he's like,
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm watching this. I'm like, he looks crazy.
He's a psycho.
He looks psycho.
Yeah, they do such a good, or he does such a good job of like portraying this like crazed.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I need to see you. I need to do this right now, because he does not seem like that in any other version mm-hmm. ever in the entirety of the show. So he did a really good job.
Yeah,
with that, like, 30-second snippet.
Yes. He looked insane.
Yeah.
He comes by and he's like, you know, I'm sorry what happened. And I love you. And he's expecting her.
I want you to.
Like, I love you too. Like, Noah.
Where
come
have
on
you
now.
Been?
Like, come on now. It doesn't work that way.
No,
bro.
That's
you should
the
know that by now.
That's the ego in him. And
of
that's
course.
What so many people talk about that they don't like about him. Because he thinks Helen has wanted him back for a really long time. The three of us have talked about this for so long.
Absolutely.
How she truly loves him. And I'm sure he's felt that. We feel that as viewers. He feels that in that scenario. But she is like, I'm sorry, what?
Right.
Because at this point, she doesn't maybe feel that way. I think, you know, not to sidebar, but she actually does.
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that he's like, you should say I love you
so
too.
So casually, yeah.
Right. Just expecting it like to be that easy. And she's like, you had chance after chance after chance. I'm not just going to, the second you come back to me and be like, I love you, let's get back together. We deserve to give this another try. I've tried to give it another try with you.
Right.
I've tried to do this. And you ruin it every single time.
I was
happy she put him in this place.
Yes. I feel like she also, this is her version. So I think some of that was her version of the events. But the coldest thing, I think, in that whole scene is when he's like, you know, he's just like me. He's like, yeah, but better. And I was like,
Helen, you are a savage.
Mic drop.
I was the same way, too, because I was like, she didn't have to say that. And, you know, sometimes you know when you don't necessarily care about a person, what she clearly is trying to convey, even if she doesn't feel that way. You know it because you're willing to say whatever. You're
because
willing
to
say that.
She wants it to be over. And that's why she says she wants nothing to do with him.
Right.
Like, she literally, like, leave me alone.
For now.
Right. Well,
for now.
Sure.
Very
sure.
Important. For now.
She then goes home and Sierra's there and, you know, hey, can you just stop your life?
Hey, can you keep my baby? Like, that's what she was like.
And watch. I'm like, yo, are you serious?
Yeah.
And then, you know, she refuses and she's like, she tries a GTR guilt trip and was like, you know, you told Vic on his deathbed.
Oh, that drove
that
me nuts.
That she would help
Remember
her. And
Vic?
I was like, really? This is what you're going to do? And then, speaking of Q, Priya comes by and is like, hey, I have this white sari for you. And she's like, what am I going to do with this? White's not my color. It's like, you know,
you're in mourning.
You're in mourning right now. And then, Q phone call.
House arrest.
From her boyfriend. And then we see, because when Sasha originally said, you know, I love you, we didn't see her say it back.
No.
And so, in this scene, and I was like, you know, so does she feel that way or whatever? And I thought that was great writing as to add it now, where on this, when Priya's there, he calls suspectedly, and she's like, yeah, I love you too, you know? And then Priya's like, oh, well, who's that? Oh, it's my boyfriend. You're supposed to be in mourning for a year. We do that in our country. She's like, well, not in this country.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we know that she does not like Priya at all.
Well, Priya doesn't like her either.
Right. So why are we trying to pretend?
I mean,
she needs a favor. So that's
she needs a favor. That's what it is. So
I want to say, though, I do think, and I know people are going to kill me for this, if it truly has been 3 months since Vic died, I'm like, it seems like it's a little soon.
It is soon.
Right.
No, like, and it is soon.
If it's 3 months and you feel like you love somebody, or you're willing to say that you love somebody.
I don't think she loves him.
I don't think she truly does. It's like, oh, something is making me feel happy when I've been in this depression because this person just died. And guess what? This is exciting and this is whatever. And I think it probably has a lot to do with the movie star aspect. Even though Helen's cool as crap and would never be romanticized by that, I think it probably is adding to it. It's a little soon.
I think it's a fraction of that. I think it does play into that. Mm-hmm. My thing is, and we all know, you know, what a rebound is.
Right.
And I feel like...
It's a big time, right, yeah.
I feel like it's a huge... Because... If you really think about it, when Sasha came on the scene, you know, he's working with Noah, and that's how he was introduced to Helen. He started pursuing Helen heavy.
Heavy.
I mean, to the point he was instant messaging her while she was at home. Like, that's really stalking.
Right.
Like, you really want to get down to it. So it wasn't like she just jumped in this dude's arms and was like, oh my gosh, yes, I love you so much, and you're just great, and da-da-da-da. He really pursued her hard.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
But I think because of the nature of the situation, she was just kind of like, you know what? I need something. I need a distraction.
Correct.
And this was a distraction.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she really thought like it was going to turn into a relationship.
Right.
I don't think in going into it she was thinking that. It was like, okay, sure, school distraction by this, you know, somewhat handsome,
famous movie star.
Yeah, movie star.
Right.
And it's like, oh yeah.
Why not?
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
If he wants to throw it down,
pick it up. She was depressed.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. And also, she watched that video from Vic, who basically literally gave her the
right,
please go and live,
sure,
your life and,
sure,
find love. And, you know, mm-hmm, when you see that,
all right.
Right.
Game on, I guess, for her.
When my mother comes knocking at the door asking for a favor, don't feel that it is absolutely necessary to give in to her. But you see, Helen does, right, feel the guilt a
she
little bit.
She definitely did.
Definitely
she
more definitely so with did. Priya than, sure, she did with Sierra, I would say.
Of course. 100%.
Well, because then you have Sierra, like, taking the vape pen or whatever it was, and she's like, maybe don't smoke weed around the baby.
Right.
But she felt the guilt over Priya. But I also thought it was very almost like pretentious of Priya to be like, oh, I've been a jerk to you. You had
forever.
You were trying to, you know, lay out my son's one dying wish. And I said, absolutely not. You were trying to do this, this, this. But guess what?
I need a favor.
You can feel for the situation. My brother, who I haven't spoken to in years upon years upon years, however long it was, is now in town. And our family is very traditional.
You guys are jumping.
Well, no, that's what we're next.
Yeah.
But, like, you ask her for a favor, and you just expect it to be like, okay.
Even Let me deliver this to you, even right, though you've been a total piece of work for the entire time I've known you. Yeah, I was with you on
well,
that.
Well, I think that it definitely set it up. I mean, her bringing the Sara out of nowhere,
mm-hmm,
right? And then Helen just be like, oh, what am I supposed to do with this? I think was setting up for the brother situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you can't just go to the brother situation. You have to have some kind of setup.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that setup, I just wanted to talk about the daughter first.
Yes,
before
yes,
getting into that. So, yeah, she goes over to Mr. Mann's house, and there's a young lady outside, and ends up being Kent's daughter,
yeah,
and she has not heard of her, and so he's like, again, light bulbs, like, how do I not, because she's confused, she's like, what's going on here, and then so, you know, he's like, oh, that's my ex-fiance's daughter,
right,
and he's like, well, I'm still her daughter, and I guess she had passed away, so hence, I'm assuming they're trying to tell us that that's why they're not together.
Well, he told us that last episode or the episode before, I think,
a while ago.
He said that I was engaged to this person,
that's
but
right,
she died.
That's right. You're yeah, correct. I did forget about that.
Yeah.
So that does coincide with the storyline.
But we've never heard of this daughter.
Correct.
This very
that
grown
was
daughter.
Yeah.
Like
extremely
early 20s-ish.
Yes.
And he really tried to, you know, put it by the, you know, wayside and, well, you just want money. Okay, well, how much? How much?
And she clearly did.
You know, and she did. But the thing is, Helen was really like, how, if you're talking that you're using the L word now,
mm-hmm,
this
right,
is not a fling anymore.
No.
You're talking about love. So that should have been something that was discussed
at some point.
Yeah. Up to this point. Now,
right,
granted, it's moving rather fast.
Quickly.
Right.
But it's something that should have come up. And he tried to dismiss it as like, no. It's just, you know, she does this all the time. Every 6 months she comes at me. She just wants money.
I have a private investigator after her.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but
I found out.
I don't care about her, but I have people that I'm paying to follow her.
Right. But he's trying to say that she's embezzling, blackmailing her.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But did y'all buy that? Because I kind of didn't buy that she's like blackmailing him. It just seems like I feel like she
just wants to have a paternal person in her life.
Or I feel like she shows up, okay, so this is a person who's not actually any blood relation to her, obviously, but she, I guess, in a sense, from what they convey, grew up with him. She calls him dad, so she grew up with him in some way. But I think it's more like, I'm mad because my mom died and you don't do these things how I like you to do these things. So it's almost like any, like, I don't think she's a teenager, of course, but it's almost like any teenager or young adult where they're like, I don't want anything to do with you, but I also actually do need you. And so they show up typically when they need money. But I didn't buy the whole thing, like, you're blackmailing me or embezzling me. The thing about the art, I mean, that seemed legit. And that's pretty dang bad, obviously. But it's, I think more so it's just like, you should be, it's like her way of acting out to be like, you should be in my life more.
You need to be a presence in my life.
Right. But obviously, I need money at times.
But also, but wait a minute. But also, if she's saying she was in rehab when she wasn't, that's also shady.
Good point.
So here's my thing. Because I think Mr. Mann is a douchebag, I feel like he is not being forthcoming at all regarding her. Like, I think that, to be honest, I think that she really just wants to have a relationship with him.
I was thinking that too.
I think the things that she's doing is acting out because she wants the relationship with him. We don't know how long, unless they said, I don't remember them saying how long that they were together.
Right.
They were obviously
a while. Yeah.
Right. But I'm sure it was some long-term relationship, so she probably grew up with him and called him dad. Like, maybe her dad wasn't around or isn't in her life. Who knows? But I think he does not want anything to do with her.
Right.
Now that, which, again, enforces the douchebagness, right? The douchebag level
keeps rising. Back to my point.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that he just wants to dismiss her, and the only way now that he does that is by shooting money at her.
Right.
And I'm going to drop a bombshell right now, is I really think that she was in rehab. I think that him saying that the following, I think that was just a lot. I think that right, that's just my little, you know, my little hood opinion.
Like,
but I really think that because of the way it just doesn't make sense. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I had, you know, if you're not checking for her, but yet, you know, you have private investigator following her, it just doesn't,
it doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up.
That's not inexpensive to do.
Hire, no.
Exactly.
Which clearly, like,
well,
he's a millionaire,
star.
So it doesn't really matter. But it just doesn't add up.
Right.
I totally
agree. And again, and two, just adding to that point, if she was, like, trying to hustle him for money, come on now. You don't think that he could get her to, you know, not do that?
Right.
I know.
Like, he has influence. He has money. He has power.
That's true.
He could get her, like, either have her, you know, not arrested, but he could use his tactics, his wiles, his influence to have her stop doing that.
Absolutely.
The fact that he's she just hustled me. I really think she wants a relationship. He doesn't want it. And so he just, you know, gives her money to appease her until she comes back.
Which I'm like, honey, just take the money.
Well, she did.
But I'm like, set her up on an account.
Right.
You clearly have this connection that's never going to go away.
Right.
You don't want the relationship. Maybe she does. Just cash the check.
And and I'm just enforcing my point again. One more thing.
Yeah.
She didn't give an amount.
That's true.
He was the one that was like, $25,000? Okay. And gives it to her.
No, she did.
She was
like, $25,000. He was like, really? I'm getting off easy this time.
Oh, that's right.
Look at that accent.
Thank you.
We're learning things today.
Okay.
April was intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end. You're right. She did. But again, I think it didn't matter. It didn't matter. I think she's just throwing that out there because, and I think it probably goes up every time because it's like, okay, I really want to spend time with you, so I'm just going to throw some asinine number out,
right?
So you can just give me the money.
I cannot believe that this is the last season. By the way, just all these character developments that are happening. I'm just right. like, why is
I know.
This happening?
They give us all of these new things right when it's ending. And but we know why they're doing it, though.
Right.
You gotta
hate it.
Right. You gotta replace.
Right. So so the big thing about this episode, I feel, is when we see Priya again. So mm-hmm. Priya obviously was trying to get in touch with Helen. It's discovered, you know, about, you know, she tries, basically, hey, my brother is going to be in town for 24 hours on this layover.
The brother that I never talked to, that we're estranged, he's disowned me, blah, blah, blah.
She didn't go on a major deal, but she did say that, you know, she hasn't seen him in a long time and he's in town. Mm-hmm. Can you please act like you are Eddie's mother?
Mm-hmm.
All I need you to do, just for one night while he's here. Helen is like, and she's with, you know, she's with Mr. Man, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like she was going to do it.
I agree with you.
She would have done it. But douchebag man basically is like, you know, you got to say no. Just tell her no. And then she's like, I'm sorry, I can't do it.
I agree with you.
Now, granted, she did have that, you know, party to attend to. It wasn't like she wasn't doing anything. But it was on the coaxing of the douchebag.
Correct.
So she said, no, I can't do it, da-da-da-da. And we find out when she does go to that party that Priya calls her, you know, several times.
Yep,
trying to get a hold of her. And she looks at her phone. She's like, oh, okay, whatever. And so then, and then at the party, we find out again where the douchebag is. So we find out, oh, we run into Eden. Shout out to Eden.
Ugh, that was actually very surprising to me.
That was really random.
Seeing her brings up very bad things in my memory, so
yes,
I didn't like that.
Noah's foreign publicist. She's now in L.A., and they talk about that. And so then Carolina is the woman that she's, you know, doing the party for. She tells... Mm-hmm. And then Sasha is basically, and buries her husband. That's mm-hmm. who the party's 60th birthday. And so Sasha's supposed to be, had promised to do Barry's movie.
Right.
And he gets a phone call. She's like, oh, you're going to, she's like, I can't do it. And mm-hmm. she's like, but, and she's getting all this, well, we can just put something back. Like, no, I'm not doing it. You know, can we just, no, not
I know,
gonna
that
happen.
Was so shady.
Super shady.
Well, that's the thing. We, you know, she, he, maybe he doesn't know, and he, according to what they show us, he is a very big time actor, and I'm sure he has people's projects do kind of rely. I'm not giving him an out here, by the way,
right.
But I'm just saying, you know, he obviously is giving up this opportunity to help this man for a project that he believed in for a better paying or a big, you know, it's, I think it's a sequel of a movie that he did or whatever. It's not the right thing to do, but it's also not like it doesn't happen. But it's of course they showed us that to make us be like,
you figure it out,
right? He's not just like the best of a person. He's not going to be like, no, I already agreed to do this, my mm-hmm. word is my word, I'm gonna have to give this up, even though, you know, it's this man's, he's relying on it in a very large way to do this.
This is why it's shady, in my opinion, is because Carolina kept giving him like other alternatives.
Right.
Hey, well, we could do afterwards.
Yeah.
Always like, I have another. Okay, well, we can just figure out a way. Like, she was willing to work on the situation
figure
to
it out.
Have it.
Yeah.
And he was just, everything she was saying was like, no.
Yeah.
He wasn't willing to work it out. Like, it's different. Like, oh, I'm taking this, I can't do it, can we reschedule it?
Yeah.
And then that could have worked out. He just refused to do it.
Yep.
But I just think he's just a cold hearted person.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
We see how he did with the daughter. We see how he's done with his so called friends, mm-hmm. Which he doesn't believe are friends because, again, and Helen is like, oh, why did you do that? Because Carolina's my friend. It's like, she's not your friend.
I'll be your friend.
Ugh. She's like, you know, so, and he literally is trying to, and I hate that he gives every excuse, like, this is the way it works out here.
Yeah.
You know, this is how it is. It's like, no,
it's
yes, it does, but doesn't, everybody's not like that.
Right.
Everybody's not the same, and you don't have to be that way.
Right.
Don't try to excuse it away.
Yep.
So she comes home, and then Priya shows up. And she basically, that was really rough. Mm-hmm. And Priya goes on this long explanation to her why it was so important. You know, the brother was estranged, did not talk to him, decided after years, 30 years,
mm-hmm.
it's a long time.
Yep.
That, look, okay, I want to see, you know, Vic's baby. I want to, you know, talk to you. And she was so, you know, of course, elated because mm-hmm. being estranged, as she talked about, because she married a Muslim. That's how it all started. And she gives basically the whole dissertation to Helen as to why it was so important. It wasn't just like, I need you to do me a favor.
Right.
No, this was monumental.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Helen is just, you know, they're like, I didn't know.
Right. But also, I think it would have been prime opportunity for Helen to also say, hey, maybe you shouldn't treated me like a pile of bleep.
Right.
For all that time. And perhaps I would have been a little bit more willing
And that's why Priya leads with the fact she's like, I know you're not my favorite, you know, I'm not your favorite person.
Well, I mean, it's good that she said that, but I think Helen really could have
put a pin in that in some way.
Yeah.
Maybe I feel a little, maybe the savage in me is coming out tonight. Ooh. Because I feel for the situation, of course, sure. that Priya is in.
Absolutely.
But I was like, this is not Helen's fault.
Exactly.
100%.
And exactly. I feel bad saying that because I definitely think Helen in any sort of situation where she could have, would have helped her. But I was like, you're not just asking Helen to do a small favor.
It's
asking her to pretend to be this child's mother.
Right.
You're asking her to do whatever.
Yeah.
But to come to her and be, and, you know, obviously she's upset because of the situation. This is her brother. Mm-hmm. They haven't spoken in years. But she's like, this is your fault.
Right.
I'm like, it's not
no,
her
it's
fault.
No, it's not. Yeah,
and that,
I agree.
I was like, that isn't right to, like, put this guilt on her, because I think in any other situation, Helen would have done whatever she could to help.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and I agree with you both in the fact that it wasn't Helen's fault.
Yeah.
And it's really not Savage. Like, she is, you know, she can decide what she wants to do. I think if Priya really, really wanted her to do that, she should have gave her that whole explanation.
But at the beginning. Not just
that's
like, by
saying.
The way, right. I need you to pretend to be right. This child's mother.
Exactly.
...
She could have said all of that, and that would have been, or leave a voice, or whatever.
I agree.
To let her know, like,
this how is how significant. Yeah, right.
Exactly. She did not do that. But obviously, Helen felt bad. And then, like, you know, she hits with the line, oh, and you look lovely in white.
Oh, and like, she did look lovely in white.
Zinger.
Yeah, that was a burn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a situation. Yeah. Let's move into episode
six. So, wait, we're
six.
Not going to talk. I know we don't have time, but basically, what? We didn't also talk about Noah planting things, right? Or was that the...
That was episode
that was
before.
Previous,
oh, sorry,
yeah,
I wasn't
previous.
Here. Okay,
that's
okay.
All good.
Yeah.
All good.
She was in Switzerland.
I was
there's too many
parties happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
great.
Okay.
So, episode six had to be all Joni.
Thank you.
Which I'm glad
finally.
Because they literally were giving us teasers.
Right. Four like, seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
Of Joni. And so I'm like, they got to do more than this. Like, come on now. Like, give it up. So we see Joni, and she is at Cole's gravesite. And she ends up, her husband calls, and, you know, she's talking to her husband while she's at the gravesite. And this
good husband.
And this creepy guy. this creepy guy is staring at her.
Yeah.
And she's just like, what is going on?
Right.
What is going on? And so his name is EJ. And we were saying he looks like Rob Schneider.
He does.
Like if Rob Schneider had like a first cousin or like a half brother, that would be him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they start, you know, conversing. And he basically is like, look, let me give you a ride, because she's on this bicycle with two flat tires.
Right. How
does she even get there?
Yeah,
how
right.
does she even get there?
Like, I guess she can ride on a flat, but it probably took her a while.
Oh, wow. I guess.
Slowly but surely.
I guess. Yeah. And then he says that he's an epigeneticist.
Epigeneticist.
Thank you.
Or as Lem likes to say, an episcientist.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, epigeneticists. And so, which is a study, and I actually looked this up about epigenetics, because I wanted to know, like, I've never heard that term before.
Yeah.
So,
he's going to write something about this now. I'm looking forward to it.
I like it.
So, epigenetics is the study of changes of organisms caused by the modification of gene expression rather than alteration of the genetic code itself. So, used in a sentence.
That hurts my brain a little bit.
Used in a sentence, epigenetics has transformed the way we think about genomes. So, yeah, exactly. It's very high tech. Case in point, right?
That's what EJ.
So, exactly. So, this is what EJ does. And so, and I feel like they had to give him some crazy, like, you know, situation, because Joni is also a scientist.
Correct.
And so they had to have that correlation, that connection.
Like, I'm smart too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so I think that's why he had this crazy little thing. So, I love how she clowns him for having a car with gas.
Wow.
Because for a
she
second, I do like forget about the future until they start doing stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wait, we're in the future.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
So it's like, you have gas? Like, car, what is this? Crazy.
There's still gas? Right.
Come on now. And so he mentions to her that he had interviewed Cole, her father, and then begins telling her about his study, and that he puts out these. So they go to this beach, and so we see that Joanie is putting out what she called nanosensors, mm-hmm. right? She's a scientist too. She's high tech. And to see how fast the sand is eroding.
Yep.
And so that's kind of like, that was, the trip was twofold. Like she went, obviously, I think the main reason she went is to find out about her family, mm-hmm. but also as a way for her to, you know, figure out what was going
well,
on.
Well, and right. partially probably coping with her dad on sure. some level, correct. Which
just happened recently.
Correct, yeah, right. correct, correct. So he's like all now he's all like hooked up. He's like, oh, I'm so impressed.
Right.
You are smart, girl. You are smart. And then
she is.
Mentions like, you just, I can't believe you're so calm and doing this in the place that your mother died. And she's like, what? And so and tell me, like, I first I was like, wait a second. I thought she knew this.
Same.
But apparently she did not. So they did not, this was not discussed. She didn't know what happened. She knew her mother died.
Right.
Obviously.
Or drowned, but maybe not right. where. But not, yeah.
She knew her mother committed suicide. And so we, supposedly. Or right. according to what she was told.
Right.
But, and according to what people say at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming that her dad probably didn't tell her the details because he wanted to save her. She definitely knew that, I'm pretty sure she knew that her mother drowned.
Yeah.
Because of the bathtub scene a few episodes ago. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if they talked about it specifically or not, but she knew that her mother committed suicide. But I assume he probably wanted to protect her and not say, like, you know, that's later where, when we see her looking through the police report, like, you know, your mom washed up on some rocks and had sure. this all over her body.
Yeah.
I think he's probably like, she doesn't need to know
that. Well, they also weren't living in Montauk, so perhaps because she was removed from everything anyway, it just wasn't relevant to her life to know those things. Mm. I don't know, you know, kind of out of sight, out of mind. In a
I
way.
Mean, I get it. Like, I could see how, yeah. especially when she died, she was young. She
right.
was so young.
Right.
So you're really particular about how
the
you
information
explain
you give.
That.
Yeah,
yeah exactly,
right.
to a child. He also says, you know, look, I got this place, you know, that has a bunch of information. It's kind of mm-hmm. like this evidence room, so to speak. So they go there and then she finds her mother's file. Mm-hmm. And so she sees all these articles and not articles, but
police reports
and also notes. And Noah's name comes up in there,
sure
which
does.
I was wondering if that was going to trigger her because obviously, Noah was around when she was like a baby.
Super tiny,
a
yeah.
baby.
Right.
So I didn't know if that was going to jog her memory about something, you know, and then he was, you know, that's when he thought, you know, he was the dad.
Right.
And so it seemed like it didn't, but I feel like that's going to come up later.
Same.
Just saying.
I agree. Yeah.
Just saying.
And I want to say something about that when we get to this part that we will get to. So
booyah.
If I forget, remind me.
Boom. There it is.
Part?
It's coming.
Make a note.
Right. So then... afterwards, you know, she gets all this information and then he takes her home and then he comes later and like, hey, I want to show you something. Mm-hmm. And I love how, you know, they have to, you know.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
It was
like, I love, but so it was dope weird. Though. First of all, let me tell you this. I want a computer that I can talk to that type
of
When I'm watching that, I'm like, yo, like,
I
make
that
right.
Like, also,
that right
you
now.
Can, like a Mac can, but it doesn't like,
not
maybe
so
it's for
great.
Me because of my accent. You're like, hi, I'm April Withstand. It's like, hi, I'm Linda Gonzalez.
Really?
Like that's what, if you like do the dictation thing.
Oh, really?
That, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not great.
It's
but
not
it's
great.
Not. It's not like you can't just talk like I'm talking right
like
now and it picks
doing.
Up every single thing.
Okay.
No,
okay.
It's like.
It's kind of like text message, like voice text.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, okay.
It'll get
okay.
like 80% of the words right.
Yeah,
20%
yeah, 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 yeah.
And
okay.
the other 20, you're like.
That's not it.
That's not English.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, please, Apple or whoever, like,
figure
make
it
that.
Out.
You see this in the show? Let's
yeah,
make it happen.
Like, I'm really, like, it's got to be, like, right on the verge.
Yeah.
Because that was fresh. So, she's doing that. She's talking about her notes, about her discoveries, and then he calls her stalker. I don't know how many Joanies there are. Like,
right?
She's like, and then, of course, she's like, right, pause, mute.
Yeah.
And then she does this world satellite thing to find out where he's come from. And then finds he's outside
I
her
love
door,
that.
And then he knows because he's like, "Hey, like, I know what you did,
yeah.
you know, because I'm a scientist too.
I'm right here,
right. Yeah, I'm smart too. So yeah, and so he's waving, and so then you know
I'm
she lets
too.
Him in, right? She lets him in, and then so he's like, "Yo, I want to show you something." And then
I actually thought it was going to be related to
what.
Something with the murder/suicide,
on that.
But obviously it. transitioned into that.
Oh, you're talking about the moon. I was like, yeah. I was like, he did want to show her something, but that was the box later.
Right, right. Yeah, no, he wants her.
Yeah,
Like, let's keep it all the way real. He was wanting some Joni. Like, when she was like, don't touch me.
Yeah.
Like, he was like,
I want you more. I want you more.
That was real. Like, exactly. No, he wanted her.
Ooh, and this was a way for you.
This was a way for him to, you know, try to, he knows that she's staying there by herself, whatever.
Right.
So they go look at this moon. Right, scientist. They go look at the moon, and it looks really dope. And then she's looking at it. She's like, wait a second.
Light bulb.
And so, exactly, let's look at this 30 years before. Mm. And so she does this thing where there's special glasses. Can you imagine? Like,
that was amazing.
Right,
that was rad.
Yeah. That was dope. So she's like, wait, if this is where she died, let's find out, you know. Mm. So they go 30 years prior, because that's when she would have passed away. And then based on the tide and the level of the ocean, it would have been very shallow.
Right.
So she's like, wait.
Too shallow to drown.
Exactly. I can't imagine her drowning. And this, you know, because in explaining to her that it was just really too shallow. He's like, really? And then this is when it gets weird. This is when it gets too weird.
Yeah.
Like, already kind of weird. I'm whirling with the weirdness.
Yes.
This is when I'm like, okay, I'm so lost. So then she kisses him. And so...
she needed a place to stay.
Apparently.
Or something.
Something. Yeah. But yeah, she kisses him, and I'm just like, okay... and then
here we go again,
right?
Yeah,
and then they start smashing, and then it gets even worse because that part is it's weird, but it's like, okay, I get it. But then he starts diagnosing her situation in the middle of them having intercourse,
right.
And I'm like,
dude,
and then she's just like, okay, wait a second, are you just diagnosing me? Is this like an experiment for you? He's like, hold on, wait a second. And I'm like, okay, you, sir, are a nerd and very weird. And
but that's what he does.
And you could have waited until after the act. Like, that's what I'm saying.
I think for me, I was like, no, I did not like this scenario whatsoever. But I had maybe a few issues with tonight's episode. But I think that him just, you know, it's like her. When she was in the middle of her work, it's not like she's trying to talk to him. He's been studying the Lockhart family for years. Mm-hmm. I think he says for years. But he's been in Montauk for quite a while.
Right.
Specifically there, you know, he was there for Cole. He's been reading these police reports, whatever. And so when his whole thing is, if your parents have gone through this trauma, how do you respond to it? So he thinks you're resilient. You're so tough. You're this. And then when he sees a sign of, I forget the word that he said, you're either resilient or you...
I forget
the word that he said, but essentially, almost as like a sign of weakness.
Right. So that's kind of you're how a victim or you're like resilient. And
right.
Stuff.
You yeah. or either you or. You succumb. You have these things in your life that are maybe a little odd that another person wouldn't necessarily do. And he sees that side of her, and he's like, "Whoa, wait! My mind is blown because I just thought you were this tough person.
But no,
you're trying to give me." Not just to choke you, but to choke you to the point of like,
death.
I'm gonna hurt
the
you.
Verge.
Right.
And he's
right.
like, do you feel this thing? So I, hella weird, absolutely. but I also got it because I was like, you know, they're portraying this very important scientist part of her. It's not like he's gonna see this side of her and then just be like, oh, I forgot about all of my studies because we're, you know, banging right now. He's like, wait, this is totally different than I thought. So this is kind of a big revelation for him in his study.
Yeah.
I just was like, afterwards, and he was just like, hey, I'm actually good at bed. I just want to let you know.
Right.
And I'm like, if you weren't such a nerd and could have just waited to start diagnosing her, it probably would have, you would have been all right.
Right.
So then she goes home, home in the sense of home.
Yeah.
So she's with her husband and the kids, and then we see Louisa. Old Louisa, wrinkled Louisa shows up, and you were not having this makeup job.
I totally understand. This is many, many, many years in the future, according to where we were last season.
About 30 years.
I get it. Like, absolutely.
Right. Roughly 30 years.
They just didn't do a good job with it. That has nothing to do with the moving forward of the story. That just means, like, you didn't make a good old Louisa.
Right. Right.
Also, Louisa has just bothered me from the get-go, so maybe I just see
you
her.
You never
like,
was a fan of Louisa.
No, and
you
I'm
never
still not, and I'm especially still not now.
Still not. Expect-
I'm especially not now.
And then she visits, and so they're talking, having a heart-to-heart, and she basically says, look, you're just like your dad.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, she is learning all of these things about both parents, because she's obviously got to learn more about Allison, mm-hmm. and really just trying to figure out why she is the way she is. And we find out, and we'll get into it, why she does some of the things she does.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because she's living vicariously, not even vicariously, like this is a part of her.
Yeah.
And, you know, she talks about throwing the old photos out because she says Allison ruined everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Jody says that, you know, she was the replacement child. That got me.
Oh, same.
Because to think, and I know how it, you know, not personally, but mm-hmm. I know people have told me how they feel, like, even with stepchildren, mm-hmm. right? You're a stepchild, or, you know, you have had a previous child pass away and then you're the new child, but they're still attached mm-hmm. to that previous child. So that hurts.
Yeah.
To kind of live with that. Like, look, I understand, like, you know, that this happened, but to be the replacement child and not just have an identity of my own.
Right.
That's really, really, like, that's hurtful.
Yeah.
That's hurtful.
I think this is where a lot of issues came up for me as well, because I thought, I was like, okay, Joni was, I think she says 7 when her mom commits suicide, or, you know, seemingly commits suicide.
Right.
So that's going to leave you, obviously, that's a traumatic event. You do think, obviously, how she later says many, many times, like, she left me, she did this, this, she did this, she did this. But I took such an issue with the fact that Louisa still seemed the same. Like, she almost seemed still pissed at Allison. Mm. Not for, you know, leaving Joni, but for taking Cole back, or
right.
for Cole loving her. And I was like, you don't, why are you not, you in this situation, you should be defending this. You should, when she was like, you know, I threw the pictures out. Oh, why'd you do that? Because she ruined everything.
Right.
Like, I know she's not a fan of Allison, but I'm like, Joni was only 7 when this happened, so mm-hmm. clearly certain things have been put into her head.
Yeah.
Not that she didn't have memories. You definitely have memories when you were 7 years old, as she, you know, we, of course, see later.
Right.
But I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe it's my love for Allison that is just very strong in me, that I'm like, no, why are you sitting there saying these terrible things about her when it wasn't the case? But then again, she doesn't know that she was murdered.
Well, I'll tell you why Louisa feels the way she feels is because, and it was brought up in this episode, because Cole never really loved her.
Right.
Cole always loved Allison.
Replacement.
And I feel like we go back to replacement. And I feel like she knows that. Like, she feels that. Because of the fact, and it comes at later, but we'll mention it now. Like, the fact that when Allison died, they mm-hmm. broke up.
Mm-hmm.
That's an indication right there.
Well, we all kind of knew.
Yeah,
not saying it's right, but
that's
like,
true, yeah.
Exactly.
We knew.
Exactly.
She knew.
Right.
That Cole really loved Allison.
Right.
And did not really love
right.
her.
And
it's
that's,
not like he tried to hide it.
And that's what I'm saying. You're going to have a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah. I think that Cole loved Louisa for a hot minute. I do.
Yeah.
I think he did. And yeah, I don't think it was he never loved her. I do think he loved her. I think given the circumstances of everything that happened, it really led him back to Allison in a very significant way.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think he loved Louisa for
for a fraction.
I think it was a different kind of love, probably. But I don't take that away whatsoever. But I guess it's just Joni, you know, calling Louisa mom. And then, you know, how we see later. I won't even say it yet. But, like, it's like, why did she still get to remain in this person's life
right.
where the other person didn't? Why does she think this way? I don't know. Because you know it didn't come from Cole.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'm just a little upset about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We then see that she's combing her daughter's hair, and she gets this warning, you know, alarm about her garden and this freaking garden. And we've heard
that
this
I
before,
want.
Right?
Yeah.
And then she's like, all right. And so it gets overwhelming, right? Because again, and we find out later that she feels like she's possessed by Allison.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something Allison would do. And so she gets overwhelmed. So she like ends up hurting, you know, one of her daughters. And so she's like, let me just figure out what's going on. So she mm-hmm. goes to the garden. And then sees that they're not getting enough oxygen, and these strawberries are like now bad,
dying,
and, you know, everything's dying. And then, you know, we see her husband come in there,
yeah.
and, you know, she's like, look, you know, and she starts freaking out. And he's basically telling him, like, look, you know, because she's a scientist. She knows what's happening. She knows, you know, what is going forward. They're in the future, and obviously there's an issue with the environment.
Right.
And she's like, look, you know, we're going to run out of oxygen. Mm-hmm. Like, this is inevitable. Like, I'm just telling you, I know how this is. I'm doing studies on this. And so he's just trying to calm her down. It's like, look, you know, we got to be there for our daughters. You know, we adopted them and we need to make sure that their world is safe for them. And then she goes and does something really weird and says,
wow.
Like, I just want to let you know that I've been cheating on you.
For a while.
BT dubs.
And I'm like, yo, how do you go from that to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
what about a segue here?
Yeah.
She was angry. It's just like he said whenever she made the comment about, you know, well, you wanted to adopt them, mm-hmm. not me.
Right.
She was angry. She clearly wanted, like, you can see the look in her face. She's crazed. She wants to cause him pain. And it's just like we see, you know, a few minutes later, whenever they're talking about her dad just recently died, and has she dealt with his grief whatsoever? No. Like, this man that devoted his whole life to her after her mom died because he couldn't see anyone else or date anyone else or love anyone else, whatever, he just died, and you haven't dealt with that at all. Grief comes out in some crazy ways, but you can tell. It's like, okay, wait, this comment about you wanting to adopt our daughters, not me, didn't hurt you enough? Guess what? Mm. I've been cheating on you.
Right.
And you, I really saw that look in her face right there where she was like, I just want to cause somebody else pain.
Yeah.
And that's what how they equate it back to Allison later
right.
when they're saying, like, she, you know, maybe she wanted to give everybody else pain. Maybe mm-hmm. she committed suicide because she was in so much pain and she wanted other people to feel that. Joni's in a lot of pain and she wanted someone else around her to be in pain as well. So she was like,
whatever
bam.
I can do.
But then they, like, try to future it and we're like, no, but it's this, like, how can you believe in monogamy and whatever? Right. And he was like,
get out.
The fuck?
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were going to say something, know. Allison?
I you said most of it, I think.
But your version is always so much better than mine.
No, I don't know. No, the whole thing was screwed. I mean, just the whole right. thing. Part of me thinks that with Joni, I think there's a lot of her where she's never quite identified with herself on some level. That's at least what I got from this episode on, in some way. Even how she was talking to Louisa, asking Louisa certain questions where I'm like, how are you just asking these questions now? You're right. a grown-ass woman with two kids now. How is this conversation just happening? So that leads me to think she doesn't really know who she is in a lot of ways.
I agree with you. And I think this is why they're showing her in the light that they're showing her.
Yes.
Because I feel like she's gone through life with this big mystery.
Yeah.
Right? And she's been kind of dealing with it internally. And you know how it is. A lot of times we deal with things internally for so long.
Right.
And then at some point it just keeps festering and festering. And then we just kind of blow up.
Yeah. Right.
And so I think with her, and I think that's probably why she, because again, she didn't have to go to Montauk. She right. chose to go there.
Yep.
And I think going there, she was really searching. She was like, I've been feeling this way for a while now. I need to find out why.
Well, searching, but then not searching. Because right. she went there and then she's just throwing stuff out
right.
and not really, I mean, not well, wanting to face it well, on some level.
Right. Well, I think this is the thing. I think she really went out there to figure out about her dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think she could care less about Allison at this point. But then once she now is finding out, going out there and right. finding out about Allison, finding out that possibly she wasn't, it wasn't suicide.
Right.
Possibly she could have been murdered. And then, like, how they're doing the voiceovers with Allison talking through her.
Oh,
and
killer.
She even feels like she even said that. You know, she goes to EJ's house after her husband kicks her out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she mentions about, you know, he talks about Cole having a heart attack. And then that's when the whole thing about Cole breaking up with Louisa when Allison died.
Mm-hmm.
She finds that out. So she's like, oh, okay, now this is making sense. I'm actually really like my mother
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways. And then she talks about being suicidal.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Allison was. You know, she was on those meds and everything, and she was dealing with mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And so she says, basically, Allison is possessing her, which is why I was explaining the voiceovers
yeah.
that she was hearing.
That's where this part of me comes in, where I'm like, how do you don't know any of this, and then now you know all of this? Like, now she's been, you say you just read these documents where it says your mom was depressed and this, you had no idea before, and now you learn this, and now you're like, oh wait, she's been possessing me.
Right.
But I also think it's the sense of her, she had her dad there to protect her for a very long time, her dad's gone, so now it's like, oh gosh, both of them.
Yeah.
I know this, maybe I don't know all about this person, but I know that this person quote-unquote committed suicide, so clearly she was in some kind of way, if you think someone committed suicide. But so it's like she feels this thing that she just can't get out of her, and so she's hurting people in her own way, I guess.
And she loved her dad. Like, when she's talking about, she's like, my dad could do anything. We were here. He could be a farmer. He could be a rancher. He could be a grocery clerk. Like, he could just, she was just really proud about her dad. And then, but I think she didn't understand, because that's why this EJ character is so important. I could do without the intimacy, because I'm just like,
I could do without that as well.
But I see why his character is so important, because he's the bridge, right? He's the one that's been studying all of this stuff. She runs into him.
Correct.
So now he's feeding her this information that she didn't know, to the tune where she was like, she wanted, when her, you know, when Cole and Louisa broke up, he wanted her to move on. But he didn't, because he loved Allison. And that was the whole thing. That's why he went to Montauk and wanted to be by himself and lived in that house and just kind of like, and now EJ was saying, he's like, the people started leaving, the tourists and all that stuff, and it was just kind of like a fisherman town. And that's what he wanted. He wanted, like, it really was, because he was from there. But again, that also brings him back to Allison, because they were together so young. So he couldn't see anybody else. And now she sees why he wouldn't be with anyone else.
Of course.
And why he did, and kind of died alone.
And he had the shrine to her.
Exactly.
And she also feels the guilt of, you know, moving away and, you know, leaving him, as she says, because she's like, if, you know, someone would have been there when he died, he would have survived. Like, that's what they told me. I asked when he had the autopsy done. You know, he was trying to get to his meds. He died slowly. Like, she feels an immense amount of guilt because she left him, just like she says. She's like, just like my mom did. And he, you know, how he's like, oh, you mean when she died or whatever? He's like, no, when she left him for Noah Soloway.
Exactly.
And like the disdain in her voice, I was like, oh my gosh, she doesn't know the real situation. Somebody needs to explain to this girl what actually happened.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
So then,
so much to know.
Right? So then we get the piece de resistance. And then we see the articles about Benjamin Cruz. Now, EJ had his, you know, feelings about it. He was like, he has these articles about this, you know, as he said, handsome soldier.
Marine.
And he's like, oh, okay, I think he was probably, he didn't want anyone else because he really wanted to be with this guy. And so
I thought that was a little out of left field, by the way.
But like, this is also, I think, EJ. Like, his character is really eccentric.
I was like, you've been studying this family and you somehow didn't know. Like, he's in the little notepad of people that were interviewed right after she died.
I agree. That was
He missed it. I will say this, that if he would have known, it doesn't give us the flashback where Joni is with her dad. And then she's like, oh, this is Benjamin, my boyfriend, or whatever. And she's looking, and she's like, oh, and makes the correlation. And then that's when she's like, yo, I think she killed my mom.
That cut,
he killed my mom.
What did I say? She. Oh, sorry.
Those scenes cut like a hot knife in
butter.
Like, I was like, oh, don't do this to me.
Finally.
Absolutely. But it hurts to see them, because I'm like, oh, dang, you have to use a legitimate scene, like, because they're not on the show anymore. It hurts to do that.
Oh, and to not see them.
But I was like, this is, throw away everything else you just did for the first 40 minutes of this episode, because it just got good. I was like, thank God you're finally, like, getting to what we want to see.
Absolutely.
And I actually, you know, some people may say that it was a little quick, but also we have to think, Joni is a very smart person. It's not that unreal that she would see this picture and then see this picture and then see this picture and be reading these things and whatever, and then
especially because she's looking for it. It's not like she's not looking for it. She's looking for these things, so her mind is sharpened.
She's
into
turned
that.
On to it.
I love the way that they did that, and kind of, it's, you see that it's like a realization. And then all the articles, how, you know, Cole even highlighted everything, you know, Benjamin Cruz, but also like the PTSD stuff, and like how he was arrested for assault but said he was trying to protect his wife and all of this stuff. And I just liked how it was done.
Shady.
So that's where they leave us, which I'm super excited about. She confronts him. But I think now it's time for a special segment.
Our very special segment of what not to do, we'll say, when you are in this affair type of situation. That's right. I feel like it's very obvious. Don't, in a moment of rage, say, by the way, I've been cheating on you for years. Maybe let's, you know, have a better situation for that.
Absolutely.
Right? But Joni's not in her right mind at the moment.
Mm-mm.
No.
What about y'all?
100. Wait, so what's our what not to do?
Like, what not to do when you're, if you're in having this affair situation, what do you not do?
Don't do it in that way.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah, 100.
It's like 1,000.
I mean, yeah, 1 billion.
Yeah. You're talking about basically, oh, the earth is, you know, killing us and we're going to die. And by the way,
I'm also
cheating on you.
And right? It doesn't matter because we're all going to die soon anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, by the way, you also shouldn't care. Yeah. We're the same people we were 30 seconds ago.
Right.
No, honey.
Yeah, that was misplaced logic.
That was the scientist part.
Yeah.
That was the scientist part.
That made no sense.
We're molecularly the same people.
Yeah, the same.
30 seconds ago.
So it's
like,
fine.
Stop
so let's
it.
Still go to bed.
Stop it.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to say I echo everything that you just said. Yeah.
Perfect. Boom.
Don't do that ever.
Don't do it.
Love it.
Don't do it. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, boom. Do not do that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just saying right there. We have...
News
and gossip.
Woo!
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so Moira Tierney was on the IMDb show, and she was talking about the affair, talking a bit about ER, and she has a film coming out on November 15th called The Report that we all are going to want to check out with Adam Driver, so that looks really good. But anyway...
What network?
What?
What did you say, the network?
So she was interviewed for the IMDb show.
No. What network is the show going to be on?
Oh, no. It's a movie. It's a film coming out on November 15th called The Report. Yeah, with Adam Driver. Yeah, and it actually looks
really good.
Okay. Yeah, it looks really good. But just fun facts. When asked what she likes to watch on TV, can you guess, y'all?
I don't know why I feel like she's going to be like The Bachelor.
No, she actually. So she's all about Veep, and she was really sad that it's coming to an end. And she also said she's very much looking forward to Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and apparently she checks out every Tarantino film under the sun.
Nice. All right.
But it was actually a really adorable interview. She talked a bit about working on The Affair and The Report. I don't know. It's worth checking out. So you can see it, the IMDb show. Just go to imdb.com, basically, and find the whole interview.
Awesome.
Oh, I would love to see it in a movie.
Well, you also want to see Helen in Always, so you should definitely watch the interview, Lem.
Yeah. Lem's like, I've actually already read it. I'm trying to pretend like I have it.
Yeah.
Watch that interview.
I'm going to watch it. All right. Predictions. Let's do that.
Yeah. AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, yeah. We saw the previews going into the next episode. We see that Joni goes up to Benjamin Cruz.
Holy cannoli.
They get into it.
Physically.
Physically. Yeah. And, yeah, it's not. Anyway, I don't know how that's going to be. But, yeah. What are your predictions?
This is what I was thinking of saying earlier. In this preview that we see Noah showing up to the house in Montauk, wanting to see Joni, wanting to whatever. She was very little when he found out that he was not her father.
Mm-hmm.
But he still, maybe not as often as Louisa likes, tries to remain a part of her life. So I just think it's a little unfair that Louisa was the one making the decision of like, you can't just show up in her life whenever you want to.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, no, if you're in the same situation right now, he can see her. If he wants to see her.
Right.
That's not a prediction, but I just wanted to say that because it made me not very happy. But I think, without a doubt, we know that she was murdered now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Like, it's a pinpoint.
At least from that preview, it kind of...
Yeah. Well, and from the way they describe things in the episode, I'm pretty sure we know that she was murdered. I definitely think Joni's going to find out. But I don't really think it's going to mean anything. I think it's just going to be something for her. Mm. And it's going to be, okay, my mom was murdered. And this maybe makes me not feel this kind of way about her anymore. I do also think that Noah and Helen are going to still be together in some point. Obviously, that wasn't in this episode. But just thinking, you know, we only have 4 episodes left.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that they will be together in some way.
Okay.
Okay, so yes to... I think Noah and Helen finding each other again on some level. I think the planting of Noah professing his love and Helen shunning him,
mm-hmm.
I think is just Like, it was a little tease for all
they
of us.
They needed that.
Like, oh, no, you're not going to get it, but we really are. So okay. I was thinking that. And there's a part of me that thinks Joni is going to kill him.
Oh.
Really?
I like that.
With some weird scientific device that she has that we've never seen
the
before.
The nanograms?
I don't know. Like, nanosensor. Maybe, like, choke you with my nanosensor.
Right,
on
right.
one level, I think not only when she figures it out, I think she's going to be filled with rage, but also because of her love for her father and the fact that her father was obsessed with this guy and trying to figure out what he did to Allison, I think that that's going to make her that much more apt to want to annihilate him.
Gotcha. And the guilt...
I don't know, we'll see.
The guilt over thinking that her mom was this person that she actually wasn't.
Yeah! This whole time!
The guilt of thinking, like, my mom left me. She didn't care about me. She killed herself, whatever.
I know.
To be like, oh my God.
You took her from me.
She actually loved me more than anything. Could get her. Gotcha. I like that. I like that idea.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
I don't know.
I've been throwing wrenches.
My little predictions.
So this is what I think. I think, first of all, that because we saw Noah Soloway's name in those notes that she had, right?
Oh.
So because his name was on there, there is going to be a meeting between Joni and Noah Soloway, and I think, and as opposed at regarding that meeting, I feel like there is going to be something that is going to connect, and I feel like...
Oh, God, don't say what I think you're about to say.
I don't know what you think.
I don't know. I'll tell you if it was...
I think I know what you're saying.
I don't know what the heck you two are saying. We got it. Yeah.
I think that there's going to be something to come up to say, like, that Noah is the real father. Yeah,
they did lie to us, though, right?
Maybe they. Well, they did something to where we're like, okay, no.
Oh, my mind is blown right now.
No, there was something that was done. I can't remember exactly, but that, like, okay, it's confirmed that
Cole is the father.
But we. This is a show. This is the finale. Mm-hmm. Come on, there has to be some. They got to go out with a bang.
I would kind of really like that, actually. At this point, anyway, right. I'm like, I need something as a viewer of this show since the beginning to tie
Noah and Allison.
And not even necessarily that, but like, because I do at this point, like I've admitted begrudgingly that I would be totally fine with Noah and Helen being together.
Yes.
But to me, that it does justice to what happened between the two of them, and it isn't just like, okay, done with you because you're not on the show anymore. I actually wouldn't mind that, and that would be a major blow.
The name of the show is The Affair.
Yeah.
And The Affair happened between them two.
Yep.
Between Noah and Allison. So that would be a culmination of the entire series, that Joni is their...
That makes sense, Lim.
...is their daughter.
That makes
you
sense.
You are the father.
Just saying. I know, I'm a genius.
You are, but we'll see.
But yeah, we still got time left. We got 4 more episodes.
Oh, that's so sad.
So there's a lot that can happen in 4 episodes.
Definitely.
So, but I'm really excited, especially for this next episode with the Benjamin situation.
Oh!
It's
all about the Benjamins.
You put her in a joke slam.
Exactly, I know, it's crazy. But ladies and gentlemen, that has been our episode. We want to thank you so much. We got it done.
Woo!
5 and 6. We killed it. I have been your host, Lim Gonsalves, and you can find me everywhere at Lim Gonsalves, LemGonsalves. Allison Dean, where are you at?
I'm at the Allison Dean, super easy breezy.
Awesome. And I'm everywhere at April Wissenham.
Yeah. Make sure you tune in next week, because we'll be back to 1 hour, but I'm telling you, this next episode is going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to even get crazier.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Be here with us. All right, y'all. Woo. Peace.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.